I'm really pleased to see that the J report says that this problem looks like it's endemic in society. We are seeing the tip of the iceberg. We don't know the scale of it. We can't. It says that in the report. But what the report does make clear is that we're not simply talking about historical abuse. This problem is current. It's happening now. People bury their heads in the sand. And what we need is to have the courage to open our eyes, stop shutting our eyes to the problem. And of course, this is only one aspect of abuse that goes on. It's one particular type of abuse, gangs and trafficking and so on. A lot of abuse still goes on in the family. And there are other types of organised abuse, which are every bit as damaging and sinister.
Sue, do you accept that people need to be accountable? Do you believe South Yorkshire Police Crime Commissioner should quit over, you know, failings to tackle this?
Well, having looked at the J report, I think he should, because it's clear from that report he was fully briefed, at least from 2005 onwards, about this issue, and he was part of the mishandling of it. So I think that makes him unfit for public office in the present. But at the same time, I don't think that we should see the resignation of any key official as a solution to this problem. It's simply not going to go away.
If you would take us back to 1986, because really the impact, the fallout from the Cleveland child abuse scandal, what did that have on our area in terms of the fallout?
Well, it had a huge legacy for professionals throughout the country, and I think we should start joining the dots between all these high-profile cases, including Cleveland. Cleveland left a legacy of fear amongst professionals, fear of controversy.
And but we're talking virtually 30 years ago. Why have we not learned things from that?
Because I think that was the idea, that people wanted to contain the problem and that and rely on policy and procedures which would allay public disquiet and make them think that it was being dealt with. But of course, we've had one problem after another. We've had child deaths, because another thing that happened in the wake of Cleveland was that the threshold for intervention was raised and policies and procedures focused on quite a small group of children, which were those children that could tell what was happening to them and, you know, take part in a police investigation. And the vast majority of children, as we know from this Rotherham case, simply can't. Or if they try, they're disbelieved.
What do you want to see more of? I mean, do you think there needs to be more? You talk about joined up thinking, really, joining the dots. Is it a lack of organisations talking to each other that leads to problems like this? Or is it a fear, as we're hearing down in Rotherham, that the perception is people are going to be classed as racist because of the incidents, what's happened?
Well, ethnicity is a factor in the Rotherham case, but I think on a broader level, because the problem is much broader than Rotherham, the J report refers to a culture of denial. We have to stop the trying to deny just what goes on.
It's easier to dismiss it, to move on with your life.
It is, and also we have to stop scapegoating the people that raise the concern, as I feel happened to myself and my colleagues in Cleveland, has happened to other colleagues since. People have been silenced and situations haven't been investigated properly.
Remind people what happened to you, Sue.
Well, I was the child abuse consultant in the Cleveland child abuse crisis. I was a key figure along with the two paediatricians, Marietta Higgs and Jeffrey Wyatt. We were scapegoated for raising the concern, and we were talking only about a very tiny group of children in comparison, 127 children, but people were not ready to face that was even the tip of the iceberg.
You must have been so angry, and do you still continue to be angry 30 years on?
I feel distressed at the fact that children and abused adults are still not being listened to, they're not being heard. My current work is a psychotherapist. I work with adults abused in childhood. I have adult clients who are telling me about situations comparable to Rotherham that happened to them 40, as long as 50 years ago.
Do you feel powerless?
No, I don't. Because I work with very brave survivors of abuse who are trying to put right the damage, and it's never too late and nobody's ever too old. And I always feel that as long as somebody is working with me on their own healing, then the abuser or the abusers, plural, have not had the last word.
So really, you've got an insight in terms of the psychological effects this is going to have on individuals across the Rotherham area for the next 30, 40 years, indeed for the rest of their lives.
Yes, and I think that's why the government and society as a whole has to face the cost. There is a literal cost here in terms of counselling and other therapeutic services. All frontline services are pared to the bone currently. They're struggling to cope. I think that was a factor in Rotherham. Voluntary bodies are being cut back. That really has to be faced. Some really significant funding's going to have to be put into this.
What should be the top priorities, do you think, for the government now?
Listen to the victims. Ask them, what do they want? set up confidential services that they can put trust in. Their needs of the survivors are long-term. Short-term counselling is no use to them. And also accept that we have not solved this problem. We have to live with it. We have to face it.